Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus commanded the apostles. And so we are set out on that mission ourselves, as Jesus commanded the apostles to teach us then all things that he had commanded. And this is part of it, is reaching out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to begin my third series on personal evangelism since we've been here just a little bit over a year. And when we came here originally, the brethren were interested in this topic and engaging in this work, and I think the Lord's really blessed us in this thus far. I'm not one that's much on statistics, but it helps us to evaluate ourselves as we look at statistics. You look at the number of our membership, those who are regular attendance, just about a year ago. And when you realize that about 15% of that number we have reached in a year's time to bring to Christ through the gospel, that's really something else that God has blessed us with. That's, in my book, quite incredible. And I look forward and am prayerful and hopeful that we'll have some more years like that. And of course, it's God's blessing for us as Christians to witness and see and be a part of that. But it also says something about the congregation, because it doesn't take one or two people doing it. It takes everybody, and the part that we all have as a congregation, to accomplish these things. As we talk about personal evangelism, let's just quickly review the two series that we've had previous to this. The first one dealt pretty much with the paradigm or our attitude in personal evangelism. Simply to be a good neighbor, to do good things for our neighbors, to love our neighbors, and to be engaged in that is basically personal work and personal evangelism. The next lesson was don't worry, just do it. And this lesson brought out the point that God equips us as Christians to be personal workers. And we do not need to go to some special school somewhere and to get some sort of degree or something. But from the moment we become a Christian, we just need to be engaging in this to the very best of our ability, and the Lord will bless us in this. The third lesson was what works today, and we looked at this chart, to simply notice building relationships with people and bringing them to church with us. That's what works today. 79% of people in the church today say it's because a friend or a relative invited them to go, and that's why they are there. And fourthly, and the first series was being a good steward of our time and of our money, of our energy, our possessions, and of our health, being good stewards so that we can do these things for the Lord. In the second series, this was sort of a how-to series. How do you do this? Well, we talked about having a list of prospects, and those are individuals we think through everyday contact we might be able to share the gospel with. We'll be talking about this in more detail throughout this third series. The first lesson is cultivating, stimulating, and recognizing those whom may be interested in the gospel. The second lesson was on building bridges, and this is building relationships so that we have an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with other individuals. The third lesson was let the traffic flow and share the gospel. And then the last lesson was a lesson that you can share, and we had that lesson during our assembly, and a couple of the young men helped me with that. Well, this is the third lesson, conversational evangelism. What is conversational evangelism? Well, it is simply sharing God's Word with people in everyday conversation, rather than in a formal class, rather than assembly of the saints, but simply doing it in everyday conversation as we are at work, at school, working in the yard, walking through our neighborhoods, whatever it may be. Normally, these conversations lead others to have interest in or want to think about and study the Word of God more in a home study or by attending church with us. Rarely is one led to obedience to Christ in these conversations. Now, there are several examples I could give of this, but one came to mind. in Thomasville, Pam, who is, well, of course, one of my daughters, but probably the most social, was at the bowling alley with another friend, and they met a couple of boys and invited the boys to come to church. They came to church the next Sunday. One of the boys was interested in her friend, not in her. Pam's friend wasn't able to come, had a family emergency. I had to take her back home in the middle of the night. But the two boys came to church. We invited them to the house. And within a couple of weeks, we began studying the Bible. One obeyed the gospel the very evening we studied, and the other a couple of weeks later. This is just a good example of conversational evangelism. Invite to come to church. They come to church, talk some more, get to know each other better. And these two individuals were saved as a result of that. Well, we need to pray about these things. You know, it may help if we prayed about them a little bit more in our assemblies. That's something maybe to make a note of, men. Just sort of struck me as I was standing up here. But we need to pray about these things, asking God to use us in His service to do these things and to meet people, to speak with them, and to share the gospel with them. Turn your songbooks with me over to song number 146. 146, I think this is a song that illustrates, matter of fact, this song in and of itself is a request toward God, a prayer in a sense. And this is, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And perhaps you have prayed such a prayer before, and I have from time to time. "Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am weighted, yielded, and still." Here's the prayer: just, God, just make me who you want me to be. Just use me in your service the way that I best can be used. Just help me to do the things that I can do the very best that I can do them. And all of us can do this. All of us can engage in conversation with our friends and our co-workers and our schoolmates and our neighbors. We can engage in religious, spiritual discussions just in passing, just in doing something that we may be doing. It's not a big deal. It's not difficult. You don't need to know a lot about the Bible. You just have to have a willing heart to do these things. Let's look at two examples of the Apostle Paul. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 4. Verses 2 through 4. The apostle says this: "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." And so here is Paul praying for the opportunity to share the gospel with other people. He's praying for an open door. And this is simply the opportunity to share the Word of God with other individuals. And we need to be praying for the same thing. We need to be praying for an open door, for a conversation, for someone that we can speak with and we can have these conversations, those who have an open heart and an open mind, and we need to be praying for this. And then after the door is open for us, that we will walk into the door. We'll talk about that more throughout this series. And that we will have the right words, that we'll know the right words to say, that we'll be wise to know how to speak in this conversation. Also, turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as you turn over there, I think about this thought: if the Apostle Paul needed people to pray for him, that he would be effective in the teaching and preaching of the gospel, all of us need to pray for each other and for ourselves, don't we? Ephesians 6, verses 19 through 20. "And pray on my behalf that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And you know, when we talk about personal evangelism, when we talk about these conversations, what is it that keeps us from having the conversation? It's usually going to be that we're afraid of something. Or perhaps we're just not in tune. Perhaps we're not picking up the cues of someone who wants to talk about these things. And we'll talk about that tonight and throughout this series. And when we learn to recognize the cues that someone is interested in a spiritual conversation, and then simply we need the boldness to go on and just as gently but as plainly as possible to go on and talk about these things and not be afraid to do so. The Apostle Paul wanted other people to pray for him about this. Perhaps there was some timidity within him, but there was at least a reason of concern within him that he wanted other people to pray about it. And we all need to pray about this for each other and also for ourselves. Well, the next point I'd like to make that we've already made throughout the previous series is simply be the world's Bible. And we sing the song number 460. If you would like to turn over there in your song books, we sing the song, The World's Bible. And it is so very true that there are many people in the world today, and perhaps we are their only connection as far as the Word of God would go. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. And so the Lord has set up the church, His kingdom, His body, such as we go out to other people. And so that's what we're doing. And in this style of evangelism, we're simply seeking and looking for those who are interested everywhere we go, in everything that we do. Whether it's to the bowling alley, or whether it's to putt-putt, or whether it's work or school or church or wherever it is, we're simply looking for those who are interested in entering into these conversations. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5, and let's remind ourselves of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and we have talked about this recently, but it's a good time to remind ourselves of these things. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world." And we need to think of ourselves that way as we go out into the community, work, school, wherever it is, working in the yard, going to the bowling alley or the movie theater, whatever it is, we're the light of the world. And what is the light? The light attracts others who are looking for God. It attracts others to themselves. That's what we're doing in the life that we lead. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. And we'll talk about this as we go through this series. You know, for some reason it seems like we're afraid to shine our light. Perhaps it's because of various religious doctrines that are in the world today. And they really, they really abuse these things. And we're simply wanting to go out and we're wanting to be ourselves, and we're wanting to just let other people see who and what we are. That's something else we're often afraid of. We're afraid to be ourselves, and we're afraid to let other people really see who we are. And that hurts us so badly when it comes to evangelism. Oh, some time ago, an individual told me, this person said, "You know, I've been to churches of Christ, and I've studied with other people." I'm going to tell you this, not to toot my own horn, just to give you my experience. "So I've studied the Bible with other people, but you know, they all seemed like they were so perfect. And that all of this was so easy. And that they had never sinned in all of their life." I said, "But I came and I studied the Bible with you, And the first thing you did is you told me that you're not perfect, that you've lived in sin in the past, and that you needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. It took me a while to come around to that. But I took that example from the Apostle Paul, who shared his life with others. Although, don't you know that it just ripped him apart to tell other people, I used to persecute Christians, thinking I was doing the right thing. But I used to persecute Christians and try to destroy the church. But he had to share with other people the fact that he used to be like them so that he could reach them. What does Paul say? To the weak, I became weak. To those without law, I became as one without law, although under the law of Christ. With those under the law, I became as one under the law. What hurts us in our efforts to reach other people? We are afraid to be vulnerable and let people see who we really are. That oftentimes hurts us the most of anything else. We have to shine this light. And what is this light? This light is proof that this book works. And if we never share with anyone our failings, then we are never proving that this book works. As we shine this light, we have to be an example to others of what? The power of God. And if we pretend to be perfect, we pretend as if God has no power because we're perfect. And so we must let our light shine. We must let people see who and what we are so that they can see God and they can see Christ and the gospel in our lives. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We must be willing and encourage questions. We must be willing and encourage those who want to put us to the test. And I'll share this personal story with you as I turn over there. Alan Michaels, welcome to my family and the family of God. I'm going to share this lesson with you. We were studying the Bible, and Alan would come over to the house ready to study with scriptures and notes to set forth his opinion that he knew was different from mine. And I think he tried to prove me wrong. And I was glad he did. You know why? Because if I'm wrong, I'm going to change, number one. Number two, as long as he didn't give up, he was going to try to prove me wrong till either I changed or he changed. And that's the way it works. We can't be afraid of people to test us. We can't be afraid of questions. We can't be afraid to say, I don't know, I'll look it up and find out, and I'll get with you tomorrow or next week. We cannot do that. 1 Peter chapter 3, and another scripture that you know, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's the beginning. Sanctify Christ. Make Christ that special person in your heart, set apart, holy as he is, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, with gentleness and reverence. So he's telling us the attitude of our heart, number one. He's telling us to be ready, to be prepared, to know the scriptures and our Bibles. Are we going to know everything? No. Are we going to know the basics? Yes. And he's telling us the manner in which to speak these things with gentleness and respect. And if we follow that prescription, of course, what's going to be the result? We know that. It's going to be that others learn about God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest compliments, there's two very great compliments anybody can pay to me. And I'm not bragging or tooting my own horn. I'm just telling you about myself. Number one is you don't look like a preacher. You don't act like a preacher. That's right up there. Number two is you never pressure anyone to do anything. And I work hard not to do that. I've made mistakes in the past. I've done that. I've tried to twist people's arm in believing something or the point that I was setting forth, and that's just the wrong way to do it. The greatest compliment anybody can pay me is to say that I felt no pressure whatsoever when studying the Bible with you. And I think this is the exact point Peter is bringing forth. Is with gentleness and with reverence, respect, set forth what you believe. Answer the questions with the Scriptures, speaking as the oracles of God, he also says. And when we do that, men are going to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ and render obedience to it. Well, we need to recognize opportunities. I think this is another area that we fail in greatly. I know that I have failed in it greatly in the past, and I've worked very hard on it, very diligently on it, and still sometimes I catch myself, I have failed, I've not recognized an opportunity. And when those things happen, of course, I'm angry at myself, I'm mad, I'm upset, I promise that I'm really going to pay attention, and I'm trying to never let this happen again. First of all, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul here is telling us to make the very best of our time, making the most of your time, or redeeming the time, that your translation may say, because the days are evil. Now, to make the most of our time, living especially in this very fast-paced, hectic society in which we live, when someone drops a hint or a cue to us that they're interested in spiritual matters or having a spiritual discussion, we need to jump on it and don't wait one second. Don't wait one second. We need to make the very best of our time. And as we go through day to day, we're maybe riding in a car with someone. We may be walking down the street. We may be at work doing something or school doing something. And someone drops one of these cues. Don't waste any time at all. Jump on it. What are some of these cues? Tip number one, if someone says the word church, jump on it. When I really became really, really interested and wanting to really change things in my life to be able to reach more people, this is one thing I immediately addressed. I noticed that someone would say the word church in some sort of context. They may say, where do you go to church? I would tell them and I would just go on. I wouldn't follow up with it. I wouldn't ask them where they went to church. I wouldn't ask them how they liked their church. I wouldn't tell them anything about where I went to church. I wouldn't tell them anything. I'd just answer the question and go on. Wasted opportunity. And so I got upset at myself about those things. And I said, why do you do that? Why don't you address those things? By the way, homework, we're going to have homework here in just a few minutes. Homework is going to just go throughout your daily life and just try to pick out when people are dropping hints or cues to say, I'm interested in spiritual things. I'm interested in speaking or talking about spiritual things with you. And I want you just to say, I don't want you to do anything about it unless you want to. Don't want you to do anything about it. Just say, there's a spiritual cue right there. There's another one. Okay, now what could I have done in that situation? See, I'm not putting any pressure on you. No pressure. No pressure to do anything. No pressure to respond. Just try to recognize, because we fail to recognize these so much of the time. Someone ever says the word church, you know, Paul talking about that open door, God has just opened a great big door because this person is willing to talk about church. So just think, anytime you hear the word church, big door is open. Number two, conversations on moral issues or religious issues. Anytime there's a conversation, and these are other people now bringing these things up. they make a statement about some moral issue or some religious issue, door is open. That is telling you that they are interested in discussing this moral issue or religious issue with you. Do you have to solve all the world's problems in two or three sentences or less? No. That's another mistake that we oftentimes make. We think that we have to get it all in within 2 minutes or we've failed. And sometimes we end up scaring people off. We don't need to be in a big hurry. These things take time. It's going to take a number of conversations. And as we go through these things, first of all, you're just wanting the person to know that, hey, I'm spiritual, I'm interested in spiritual things, and I don't mind talking about these things. I like talking about it. That's all you're trying to accomplish. Say, hey, the door is open. I like this. This is fine. And then as the relationship progresses, then the conversations can progress. Anytime a moral issue or religious issue, that's an open door. Number three, when having these conversations, whatever it is, just think to yourself, how could I bring out a spiritual point from that conversation? Now, this is a challenge. About everything that anybody would ever talk about, you can always turn it around to a spiritual point. Because God, Jesus, and the Bible has to do with everything. What is it God doesn't have to do with? Said, no, God doesn't have anything to do with that. God has everything to do with it. So ask yourself, how could I use this conversation to bring about something spiritual? I'll give you an example. I do like NASCAR, and I like Indy cars, and I like to watch them race. But when someone brings up this, you know, going to the races and watching the races, I don't mind at all sharing with them these few opinions that I have myself is, number one, I've been to them before and I don't like going to them because of all the immorality. Number two, a lot of them are on Sunday and I'm in church. And so I'll watch them on the TV when I can watch them on TV, but those other things I don't want to have any part of and do not. And you could take that with about any conversation and bring it to a spiritual point. Number four, get in the habit of asking other people. You could word this question in a number of ways. At first, I used to word it, where are you going to church? And I said, you know, there are some people I'm asking that question to that aren't going anywhere, and I might be, you know, offending them or hurting their feelings. I don't want to do that. And so now I ask, are you going to church anywhere now? So it's not the assumption that they are not. And if they're not going now, it's not the assumption that they've never been, and I'm accusatory anyway. So I say, are you going to church anywhere right now? So get in the habit of doing that. And with that, there will be many doors that open up to you. Are you going to church anywhere right now? How are things at your church? A lot of people will tell you that there's things going on at their church that they don't like, and as a matter of fact, sometimes they'll tell you, I'm thinking about looking around for another church. And there's a whole other door opened up. And then sometimes I'll say something like, if you're ever looking for a church, I'd like to invite you to come with me and make it very personal. I want you to come with me. I want you to sit with me. I want you to be my special guest. I want you to be my friend. I'm not going to just bring you into some building, make you sit somewhere by yourself with people you don't know. And so as we enter into these conversations, these things will help us. Homework. Just try to recognize more of these opportunities. And probably what's going to happen to you, as happened with myself and the Christians I've shared these lessons with, is you're going to, number one, you're going to remember the times when you just, when something happened, you didn't recognize it, and you went on and you were mad at yourself. Number two, you're going to start seeing a lot more opportunities than you've ever seen before. And you're going to start hearing this word church. And every time someone says the word church, you're going to think to yourself, God just opened a door. Now, the next thing we're going to be talking about as this goes on, well, the latter part of this lesson, is how to stimulate these conversations. See, so far all we've talked about, for the most part, if someone brings it up to you, you see, you're not even introducing the conversation. They're introducing the conversation. They're the one bringing it up to you. You're just walking in the door. That's all you're doing. They're already telling you it's okay to talk about it. You're just, okay, well, let's talk about it. Next part in this lesson is how then to be the stimulator rather than just reacting. But then the lessons as we go on, it's going to be, what do we do once we walk in the door? We'll talk about that later on. Stimulate the conversation. It's like throwing out a line to see if someone bites. Now, before I started preaching full-time, a guy who's very good at personal evangelism, at least in my opinion, told me that's what it's like. And so I've tried to visualize this over the years and try to get this, you know, in my mind. He would say it's like fishing. You know, throw out a line, see if anyone bites. And so I thought about this, you know, over the years. And what you do is you throw out a bunch of lines. Now again, we're talking about the stimulating part here. We're not, this other part over here we've already been talking about tonight. That's when people are throwing you a line. They're saying, you know, I'm going to say the word church, I'm going to see if you bite. Okay, so go on and bite. Now we're going to talk about throwing out the line. You be the one that's throwing out the line. You're going to be the first one to say the word church. And what's really cool is the reactions you'll start to see. It's really cool. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, practice on family, people at church, other Christians. These are all safe. And you'll see how this works. It's just beautiful. So now you're the one going to be throwing out the line. You're just going to want to see if someone bites. If someone doesn't bite, that's fine. Throw them out another line later on. Throw them out another line later on. Tip number one. Use a spiritual vocabulary that they can understand. With people who aren't Christians, I never tell them we're having a gospel meeting because they don't know what a gospel meeting is. A gospel what? Gospel meeting. If I say gospel meeting, I explain what a gospel meeting is. I say it's like a revival. That's about what it is. I say there's a few differences. You know, a lot of places with a revival, they take up a collection every night. We don't do that, and I explain that why, and those types of things like that. And sometimes, let's just be honest about it, gospel meeting is nowhere in the Bible. It's just an expedient term that we've used. Sometimes I just tell them we're having a revival. You know, if we have a gospel meeting and we're not revived, we're not having a good gospel meeting. I call it a revival. And then I'll explain to them what it is. So use a spiritual vocabulary, words like church, God, Jesus, salvation. This is sending out the cue that you're willing to talk about spiritual things if they are willing to talk about spiritual things. I'll tell you a funny story. It's sort of funny. One of the old guys in Thomasville, he passed away while we were still there. And, I mean, he came up when the brethren were hashing out the institutional issues and all of that and heard all the great preachers preach and all this stuff like this. And it's really funny because I finally learned after a while when visiting in his home and in Bible class, you know, he would start out, sometimes he'd say, Alan, let me ask you a question. Well, I soon learned he didn't want to ask anything. He wanted to tell me something. But he started out that way. You see, he was throwing out a line. Use a spiritual vocabulary. See if someone takes up the conversation. If they do, run with it. If they don't worry about it. Try again later. Number two, talk about moral and religious issues and include your thoughts as they relate to the Bible. Talk about these issues. There's a lot of people, and I've presented statistics to you before, how many people want to talk about religion, and I forget the amount of it, the number of it, but there's just way over half who want to talk about religious, moral things. We live in a society, though, that makes everybody think, well, nobody wants to talk about that. Well, that's wrong. Talk about moral and religious issues. I have another example for you. I just found out about this. Beth said, you can tell this if you don't use my name. I said, I'm going to use your name. It's nothing bad. But she's just so humble. She doesn't want anybody to know anything she's ever done that's good. So I said, type it up and send it to me. You know, so she did. She told me about when she was standing in line, oh, a long time ago, looking for a job. And there was a guy there standing by her and told her about a job over at a nursing home, I think it was, something such as that. She thought it might be connected with a church or something such as that. So she asked about that and explains her feelings on that a little bit. And not the man, but the man's son jumped in the conversation. And he wanted to talk about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation didn't have anything about what she was talking about. But it was a spiritual subject. This guy wanted to talk to somebody about a religious, spiritual subject, and she was talking about something that had to do about the Bible, so he was going to jump in with what he wanted to talk about, and that's the book of Revelation. And I got to know him later on. Fine Christian when we were going to church, Leesburg, Mount Dora, and all of that. And so he was converted shortly thereafter. And his wife was converted shortly thereafter that. And why? It was because Beth was talking about a religious issue that was important about where she worked. And another guy heard, oh, she's talking about religion, so I'm going to jump in with my question, which is on the book of Revelation, having nothing to do with what she was talking about. Now, how many of us would have shied away in that situation and not talked about the institutional issue at all as it relates between the church and nursing homes or whatever it was? How many of us would have shied away and not said anything and just kept our trap shut and just went on our way, and if we had a question about it, we'd find out some other way? Probably all of us. But because she was willing to talk about these things in a good way, not trying to convince the guy one thing or the other way or whatever, just wanting to know before she went and wasted her time looking for a job, then this other guy said, oh, here's somebody spiritual. Let me get here with this. And so he began going to church and studying the Bible. So that's how all of this works. Talk about religious and spiritual issues. Include God in your conversations with other people. And use this as a springboard for other conversations, and tell everyone you can about Jesus and His church and our congregation. As I was thinking about these things and really, really, really wanting to do a better job with reaching out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, something happened to me one time that made me so ashamed. I think I told you about it one time. I was sitting at the Kiwanis Club, and I was pretty new. And here comes another lady, and she was visiting, had just moved there. And the guy sitting beside me, who went to another church in town, piped up and invited her to church, and I hadn't even thought about it. And I was so ashamed of myself, because here I am, a preacher. And I had not even thought about it. And I said to myself, I have got to change the way I think about these things, because my thinking is not right. Invite everybody that you can to come to church with you personally. We got questions coming through our website, you know that, and they go out to other Bible teachers that help take the questions, and all the ones that come through as contact, wanted contacts, and that comes to me, and a lot of the ones about people wanting to go to church or be baptized and these types of things, they come right into me. And sometimes, my parents were on the way down not long ago and said, my dad takes care of those and everything with that. I said, I don't have time, Dad. He's going to be driving. I'm going to take care of this myself. Contact the preacher. Send the information to the preacher. What does the preacher do? He sent him an email with the address of the church building. I said, whoop-dee-doo. Here's someone who wants to go to church and be baptized, and all you do is send them an address. Call the person. Invite them. Just don't give them a stupid address. You see how we think sometimes? So I told my dad, I said, Dad, we got to educate these preachers we're sending this stuff to, if that's all they're going to do with it, you know. And so we don't need to just give people an address. We need to give them a personal invitation. Will you come with me? Will you be with me? Will you sit with me? I'm not going to just put you in some building by yourself where you don't know anybody, nobody around you. You're not going to be sitting by anybody that you know. And so we need to invite them personally to come with us and be with us. We need to tell them about our congregation. This may be with another series on this topic, I don't know. This is one of the things we have to be just, we have to work on, and we have to do the very best that we can do. Why is this church a good congregation? Can you tell me? List them all. Give me 10 reasons right now why this is a good congregation. Are you going through them in your mind? Or are you having to think about it? Well, let's see. I don't know. Let's see. Well, we got a pretty nice building, and we got a nice projector, and one of the elders gave us a pretty new computer there. And that doesn't hack it. We ought to be able to spill off the reasons, because when we're talking with people and we're inviting them, we have to tell them why. Why do I like coming here, and why might you like coming here? We need to know why when we're inviting people. We need to let them know why we like coming here. So, two areas of homework. And I'm not going to get to speak on this subject again probably for about a month, I think, the end of December. Number one, go about recognizing these cues that people are dropping, and they're dropping them everywhere. When they say church, when they bring up a moral issue, a religious issue, when they say the word God, when they say the word Jesus. And here we're getting to the Christmas season. Everybody's getting all religious-minded with all of this. Well, man, those are a bunch of doors going to be opening up for us to share the gospel with those individuals. After you do that for a while and you're starting to say, man, I'm seeing these cues, then start responding to them. So somebody says something about the word church, and say, well, are you going to church anywhere right now? And they talk a little bit and say, well, I'm going to church at, and tell them why. He said, what do you like about where you go to church? And they say a little bit like that. I said, boy, I tell you what I like about where I go to church. And then you talk about some things like that. And you've got a whole conversation going just because someone said the word church. Then number three, you sort of get these things going. And if you're just getting started with it, it's probably going to take you a few months to get to this point. And you sort of get these things going like that, and you say, okay, now I'm not just going to respond when someone drops a cue. I'm going to start dropping cues and see if people pick up. And start with your family, start with your friends, start with the brethren right here. And you know what? Even brethren will pick up on the cues, and they'll start a conversation. I'll tell you one more quick story, and I know my time is up. There are Christians in congregations in this town who are looking for a more spiritual place to go to church. I know this myself. I've talked with these people. Some of them, by the way, are going here now. As we talk with our other brethren here in other places, we're going to find that some of them are looking for something that's more spiritual. And as we let them know that this is the place, we'll see some more of them. I believe that will continue to happen. So that's your homework. Recognize the cues. After you do that for a while, respond to the cues. After you do that for a while, start dropping the cues and see what happens. I think you'll be surprised. I certainly have been. Well, that's the lesson. Go into all the world. Everything that we do, go into all the world. Share the gospel with others. Number 319, we'll extend the gospel invitation tonight. Only a step. That's really all it is, to share the gospel with other people. It's just being willing to talk about it. I'll tell you this real quick, too. I've never had anybody bite off my head. That's what we're afraid of, isn't it? We're afraid, hey, they're going to jump all over my case. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you something. It does not happen. It may happen one in a million times. So don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Just do it. Only a step. If you're not a Christian tonight, it's only a step. Only a step to obey the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Only a step to get out of your pew and walk down to the front, and we'll be glad to help you tonight. It's only a step. But it's the best step you'll ever take in your whole life. If we can help you tonight, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing?